All right, so if anyone's been listening this whole past week, we've been talking about having a very special guest on the air. We have Boston's own Acrobatic on right now. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Awesome.
Very excited to have you on.
Glad to hear it. I'm glad to be with you guys.
All right. So for anyone who might not be familiar with you, can you just give them like a brief history of you, like when you started out?
I don't know how brief it could be, but I've been around for a while now. I'm from, you know, right here in Boston. I grew up here, born and raised. I just got to my 10th year in the business. So I've been around for a little while. I just put out my second solo album, which is called Absolute Value. It's out now. And I'm also a member of a group called The Perceptionist with Mr. Liv, who a lot of people from around here might be familiar with also.
Oh, right. So I actually didn't know that you were part of a group. I thought you were just a solo artist.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm mostly known as a solo artist, but my group, The Perceptionist, we put an album out in 2005, and it was actually probably the biggest project I've been involved in up to this point. We made the Rolling Stone magazine top 50 albums of the year that year with that record. It was called Black Dialogue. We're actually going out tonight to New York to open up for Ghostface, so that should be pretty fun.
Oh, no way. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
So, I mean, and in addition to all that stuff, I also am on a radio show every morning.
Yes, you are.
On the other end of the dial.
Yeah, I listen to you every morning.
Oh, sweet. That's what's up.
Actually, we'll get to that later, though. I got a few questions about that.
Sure.
But obviously, you said you've been around for about 10 years. You've seen, you know, who knows how many rappers. But are there any, like, artists or rappers that, like, you kind of look up to as inspiration?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, because of the fact that the guys who are kind of doing it right now are mostly my peers, you know, I mean, the guys that I grew up listening to are kind of either retiring or, you know, not as famous as they used to be, maybe, you know, but, you know, I still look to guys like Rakim and KRS-One and Chuck D and, you know, guys like that as like my main inspiration because growing up as a kid, those are the guys who really established hip-hop and got it to a point where it was a legitimate, you know, industry powerhouse. You know, guys like Redman and stuff like that, Wu-Tang Clan. So, you know, those are my main inspirations. I mean, but then there's a lot of my peers who I think are really great, too, that I definitely kind of look up to, like Talib Kweli and Mos Def and The Roots, you know, guys like that.
Yeah, you're definitely, you know, listening off a lot of, like, the real rappers. Like, that's, you know, good.
Like,
cause you got
stuff was real good.
Yeah, you got, like, a lot of people nowadays that just, you know.
Right.
They get one song, and, like, that's the end of them, you know.
Right, yeah. I mean, for me, it's more about the art. And I understand that. I understand that there's guys out there who, you know, maybe they put out records that are just, like, really catchy. And it catches on, and it's like lightning in a bottle for 6 months, and then you never hear them again. And,
oh, exactly.
You know, I actually like some of those songs. You know what I mean? But at the same time, what really impresses me and what really inspires me is when people have longevity and they can come back with albums and albums of great work consistently.
Oh, definitely.
So what would you say is your big break? Like your first big break?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think I made a splash when I first put out. I had a song in 2000. It was called Internet MCs, and it was just kind of like a funny, quirky little song. But it got released on Raucous Records, which at the time was like the biggest independent hip-hop label around. And when I put that single out, you know, that really got me a lot of national attention. It's funny because, you know, the song itself was just about, like, I was just kind of like dissing rappers who only participate in hip-hop on the internet, and I kind of got pigeonholed. You know, people just thought that that's what I was about because they only heard one song. So although it was like my first big break, it was also an obstacle too, because I had to overcome the fact that people thought I was just the guy coming out to diss people when that wasn't the case at all. So, I mean, that, you know, that single though sold so many copies that, you know, I was in, you know, I was on a lot of mixtapes and a lot of different people were hearing about me, and I started to get a lot of shows all over the world, you know, based off of that one thing. And then, you know, from there, it wasn't as hard to get people to listen to me.
Yeah.
What was the biggest show that you've ever done?
You know, it's hard to take one show and say it was the biggest show I've ever done. I mean, I've done a couple of the Hemp Fests out there on the Common where there's like 30 or 40,000 people. I mean, I guess in terms of sheer numbers, watching me on stage, that might be it. But then, you know, I think about some of the other things I've done, like festivals over in Germany and Denmark, where you have like 100,000 people at the festival grounds, you know, maybe 15,000 or 20,000 are really paying attention to you, but just because of the sheer numbers of people you look out and see. you know, those are pretty huge too.
I actually saw you at Summer Jam last year.
Yep.
Was it big for you to perform there, or, you know, was it just like...
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, it was cool because it's like, you know, it's a whole new audience for me working on commercial radio and just being exposed to basically the entire state on a daily basis. And then to come out and do that concert was cool because, you know, it was an opportunity for me to come out and do such a big show, but the whole crowd knew me. So that was a pretty cool thing to be out there and do that. You know, I kind of wished I waited till this year to do it because my album is out now and it wasn't then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was still a fun experience. And, you know, I'm an entertainer. I love to entertain. So it was cool to come out on the big stage with the big video screen behind me and all that stuff.
You can't get Ramiro and Pebbles to put you on the roster this year?
Oh, sweetie, this year I'm going to be in Rio, Brazil, in São Paulo, Brazil during Summer Jam. So
I've been there.
Yeah, I think that's a decent consolation, right?
Yeah, seriously. You travel all around, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Been to many different countries and just about every state in the United States. So, I mean, I'm doing another big tour overseas with my group in August and September. And, you know, this Brazil thing is going to be outstanding. I can't wait. That's going to be at the end of May and beginning of June.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely awesome.
So then how do you keep yourself entertained while you're on tour? Because that's a lot of traveling.
Well, there's a lot of entertaining things in Brazil. But, I'm never traveling alone. You know, I'm always with my boys, and that's the best part about the job is that, you know, I'm not only am I doing what I love to do most, but I'm doing it with, you know, the people that I get along with best. So I'm just on the road with my boys. We're cracking jokes, and, you know, we play a lot of video games and listen to a lot of music and write songs for future projects and stuff like that. You'd be amazed, even though the road is long and it seems like this long, arduous thing. I mean, time goes by fast. There's never enough hours in the day, and you really start to feel like all you're doing is waking up, going to soundcheck, doing the show, eating, and going back to bed, you know,
really?
So... Yeah, so it's pretty easy to fill in the gaps on tour.
All right, well, back to the whole morning show thing. Obviously, I said I hear you every morning, whether you're actually on the radio or, you know, just doing the sports wrap-up. How's that been working out for you, just being, like, with the morning show?
I mean, it's been great. Obviously, I've become a household name in Boston because of it. And, you know, a lot of other great opportunities have come out of it from me doing the sports wrap-up. I mean, it's kind of become a niche of mine that I alone am handling in the country. So, you know, I've gotten deals with the NFL. I've been doing some stuff with the Celtics now. And, you know, just a lot of great other opportunities come up as a result of people hearing this and going, oh, this is, you know, a really innovative, unique thing that no one else is doing. So people are calling me about that. And then it's just a good bunch of guys to work with, too, man. You know, I have fun being in there every day. They're always joking. No one's safe from a practical joke.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it keeps me on my toes. And just being able to actually write every day and record every day, I think it's making me a better artist and a more confident artist. So it's really, really positive on a lot of levels. I mean, the only negative that there ever is just getting out of bed when I don't want to.
Oh, yeah, you got to get up early to do the sports wrap-up and everything.
Sometimes the sports night ends really late, you know what I mean? So it's like you'd like to get a hold of what's going on the night before, but, you know, if it's like 12:30 and the Red Sox are in Oakland and they're only in the fifth inning, it's like, all right, I'm going to sleep.
Seriously?
And then you have to wake up the next morning and find out what's going on, actually write something creative about it, record it, mix it, and get it up into the radio station system by 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not easy. I think sometimes, maybe I make it look easy, you know what I mean?
Oh, but yeah, you definitely make it sound, like, really easy, like it just comes out like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, you know, especially if, you know, I might have had a show the night before, you know what I'm saying? You never know what the reason is. But, I mean, like, really, it gets tough when I'm doing shows in different time zones. Like, for instance, if I'm in L.A. and I'm doing a show and I get off stage at 2 o'clock, well, it's 5 o'clock here in Boston. So right off stage, I have 2 hours now to come up with something and record it and email it over. So a lot of times I'm doing shows and then there's like an after party. And while everybody's like sitting back kicking it with girls and stuff, I'm sitting there with my laptop and my headset doing the sports wrap-up in the middle of a party. You know what I mean? So it's real. It takes a lot of dedication, definitely.
That's a lot of commitment. I definitely don't think I could do that.
Oh, definitely no.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a bigger purpose in mind and I just try to keep hold of that, you know?
Well, that's always a good mindset.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, I got to bring this up because I listened to it and I thought it was hilarious. When you battled Problem Child, that was great.
That was a really funny moment on the show. Absolutely. Well, I mean, what in particular about it do you want to know?
I don't know. I mean, I just had to bring it up because I just thought it was funny. Just, like, how Problem Child was trying to come out. And, like, he dissed you, too. Like, I didn't expect him to, you know, come out with what he came out with.
Yeah, me neither, actually. the thing about that is, like, you know, battling is a funny thing because it's like, you know, there's so many different, you know, approaches you could take to it. And, like, with that situation, it was just like, I was just sitting there, then Ramiro was, like, playing one of his demos or something like that. And I was like, oh, you know, it's not bad. And then out of nowhere, Ramiro's like, hey, why don't you guys battle?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know very much about Problem Child. I see him at the office, but, you know, I don't really know him. I don't know that much to talk about with him. And so, but from his perspective with me, he's been following my career for 10 years. You know what I mean? He knows all my records. He knows what I've done. And so he just had a little bit different perspective on that thing. And clearly he was harboring some anger towards me too about something. I don't know what it was, but you know, he came through with some funny insults.
Yeah,
I just urge people to remind themselves that it is, however, rapping. And if you go back and listen to the tape, you'll see that he's not really on beat at any point in time. In fact, he ignores the beat. And he also takes, like, the first 8 bars of his round to think about what he's going to say. I mean, I just kind of came out and did a quick freestyle, you know, and his beat comes on and he's like, and then I guess he thought of something to say and he said it. And granted, it was funny, but you know, if I'm judging that battle, I'm kind of like, all right, you know, what's this guy doing? But you know, that particular morning, I mean, that was all for the entertainment value of the morning show.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like I'm sitting here like, oh, here's my big moment. I'm battling Problem Child. You know? but at the same time, though, I mean, it was fun. He's a good kid. I don't necessarily see a career for him in rap, but I mean, he's definitely a great addition to the show. His personality is off the hook.
Oh, definitely. They get someone to make fun of all the time. So this is something that I've been wondering for a while, but how did you get the name Acrobatic?
That was just a name I came up with when I was a teenager. I've been running around with that name forever now. It was, you know, acrobatic is a word, for whatever reason, you used to hear a lot in rap songs. In the 80s, there's this one song that by an artist called Big Daddy Kane, and he has a line, and he's like, you know, I'm the original Asiatic, acrobatic, get dramatic. And so, for whatever reason, I just always wanted to have a cool name, you know, if I ever made it to the big time and got to put some records out. So that just sounded like a cool name to me, and it's like, you know, it's also a name that you kind of have to live up to. You know, if you call yourself acrobatic, then you got to be kind of, you know, you got to be able to flip your rhymes. That's the whole point. So, you know, that's the origin of the name, and I never knew that I would still be using that name this far into the game, but it's like,
oh, come
it's
on, you don't want to be like P. Diddy? Come on.
Keep changing your name.
It's kind of hard to switch up on him after so many years. I mean, I wonder if, you know, when Snoop Doggy Dogg was 19, that he was like, all right, Snoop Doggy Dogg, that's the name I'm going to get famous with, you know what
yeah.
I mean? So, and even you see how he's, like, put some variations on it. Now he's Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
his yeah. name matured. I got to figure out what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe
it's like Lil Bow Wow with Bow Wow.
Wait, what did
right,
you say?
Exactly. Maybe I'll drop the Batic at some point and just be Acro, or I don't know.
Well, people call you that anyways, so.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of like my name because there's so many variations of it people can call me, and it's cool.
Yeah. So you say you thought of this name, like, quite a long time ago. Did you see yourself as a child, you know, putting out records and touring and doing all this?
I can honestly say that, you know, I really always knew that I was going to do this to some degree. You know, I've been writing rhymes since I was 9 years old, so it's something that I've been good at since I was really, really young. And, you know, I never knew what path it was going to take, but everyone that pretty much came into contact with me and heard me or saw me perform, they always knew, you know, this is what I was going to be doing. There's this MC from Boston who, you know, back in the very beginning of, like, Boston hip-hop history was, like, a big dog. His name was MC Spice, and I just remember playing him my first demo when I was, like, 14, and him pointing at me and going, you know, now you're going to make some records. And I was just thinking about that the other day. He's still around. I need to talk to him about that. But, you know, it seemed like I was destined for this. And, you know, I don't really see the path going off course anytime soon either.
Yeah. Well, got a couple more questions. But obviously you just had your album come out in February.
Right.
How is it doing?
It's doing well as far as I know. I mean, I don't really check the exact numbers anymore because it's pretty depressing throughout the industry what's going on with sales.
Yeah.
So I've kind of changed my business perspective, and to me, record sales are a record label issue, not me. I mean, for me, it's like the album is doing well if I'm garnering attention and making deals for myself, getting my songs licensed and being booked for tours. And since all those things are happening, I'd say that the album's doing great.
All right, that's a good answer.
So are you working on anything new in the studio right now?
I'm trying to. I'm so swamped because it's like right now I'm doing a bunch of commercial spots for the NFL. And, you know, I just wrapped up this whole thing that I was doing with the Celtics. So it's like I haven't really gotten the opportunity to sit down and write as much as I'd like to. But